We began Yeshaya Perek Aleph. We were up to Pasuk Yud. The Navi Yeshaya was, one explanation was he was looking into the future and he saw that the Churban, the destruction was coming, the people weren't correcting their ways. Lulei Hashem Tzavokos, he said in Pasuk Tes, if not for Hashem, that was Hoser Lonu Sorid, he left us over with a remnant, Kimot, that a little bit, a fragment of a remnant remained. If not for Hashem, Kistom Hayinu, we would have been like stone. Lamora Damina, we would have resembled Amora, that we would have been totally destroyed. Looking at it, that Yerushalayim remained in the whole, the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes were already exiled, the rest of the land was destroyed. This possibly was said in the times of Chizkiyahu, or envisioning those years of Chizkiyahu when Yerushalayim would be alone like a little booth in the vineyard, like a shed among the gourds. If not that Hashem protected us, Klal Yisrael would have been totally destroyed like Sodom and Amorah. But he referred to Klal Yisrael having a suffering, having a punishment like Sodom and Amorah. Shimu devar Hashem kitzinei Sodom. Hear the word of Hashem, the prophecy. Hear the word of Hashem, kitzinei Sodom, the chiefs of Sodom, referring to the leaders of the Jewish people. Hazinu Torah Elokeinu, hearken, lend your ear to the Torah of our Elokim, of our God, Am Amora, you nation of Amora. The Gemara learns out from here a rule of La'olam Yiftach Adam Piv LaSatan. A person shouldn't say something that could give the accuser a basis for accusing him. Here Yeshaya seems to say, could be he was quoting the way the people were talking. They felt that they were suffering a punishment like Sodom and Amorah. But even to mention that they seem to be comparable to Sodom and Amorah, a person should be careful the way he speaks. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Brachos that if a person, lo aleinu, suffers a death in the family, he shouldn't say he really deserved a lot more and he is just glad that only this happened. Don't say he deserved a lot more. A person has to be careful the way he speaks. You say you're almost like Sodom and Amorah, and the response is, okay, you chiefs of Sodom, you nation of Amorah, hear what Hashem has to say. A person has to know, Alti Rosha Bifnei Atzmacha, and a person has to be careful the way he speaks, that he shouldn't imply, of course, if he's doing Vidu, he is different. You're mentioning Yaveris at the moment of asking for mechila, but in general, a person's attitude shouldn't be to look at himself like a Rasha. He's got to improve. He's a Beinoni. He should be careful the way he speaks. Not that he deserved or could deserve a greater punishment. But hear the Devar Hashem Kitzinei Sodom. Hazinu Torah Elokeinu. Lend your ear, your ozen, to the Torah, the teachings of our Elokim. On one hand, it seems like the people so terrible. But Yeshaya, as great as he is, one of the greatest Nevi'im, identifies with them. He's the Hashem of all of us. It's never like he separated himself from the people and he didn't feel part of Klal Yisrael. It's Torah Elokeinu, the teaching of our Elokim. And there's still that special relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. He's Elokeinu, he's our God. And at the same point, he calls them the Am Amora, the nation of Amora. There's that balance of the strongest rebuke, and yet we are the nation of Hashem. He is Elokeinu, and Yeshaya is one together with us. Lama li rov zivcheichem yomar Hashem. Hashem says, what do we need all your many sacrifices? And it's not just the past tense what's transpired. But yomar Hashem, like Hashem will say, or Hashem is saying, it's constant. There were sins in the past, and they seem to be perpetuated, and they're continuing. Yoyimar Hashem, Hashem says, what do we need all these sacrifices for? And there are many different types of korbanos. There's Savati Olos Eilim. There's the Ola, the korban Ola, where a person takes an animal, and he's supposed to envision as if he really should be in the place. And just like the animal's whole life is brought to serve God and is given, and the blood, which is the life force, is placed on the Mizbeach, is either poured or spritzed or placed with a finger on the Mizbeach. It shows that the whole life force, everything we have, is dedicated to Hashem. And he's supposed to envision that his life really should go, but in his place he's giving this animal. Like Avraham Avinu, instead of bringing the Akedah with Yitzchak, he took an animal, let the animal be instead. But Savati Olo Salem, all of those carbon olas from the rams, I had enough of that, I'm sated, I don't want any more. V'chelev Miriam, another carbon that's brought as a shlomim. A shlomim is brought as a carbon, and the people, the owners eat part of it is eaten by the Kohanim, and part of it, the bloods and the fats go on the Mizbeach. Very often, if you are bringing a sacrifice, you take a nice fat animal for a shlomim. After all, the more meat there is, you're eating, and it's a mitzvah to eat it, but a fat animal is very often used for the shlomim. The bloods and the fats go on the Mizbeach, they're not eaten anyways. And the meat, that it's a nice fattened up animal, the meat is eaten by the owners, and it's a mitzvah. But the chil of Miriam, the fats of these fattened animals, Hashem says, I'm not interested in that. V'dam parim uchavosim v'atudim. And then there are other karbanos, the chatos and an osham, where the blood is what brings the kapara, the forgiveness. But the blood of the parim, the bulls, ukvosim, the sheep, vatudim, and the goats, lo chafotzti, I'm not interested in the blood. Hashem doesn't need our sacrifices. He had enough of it. And if you're doing it for yourself, to bring yourself closer to Hashem, and to show Hashem that you're doing what Hashem wants, because you want to improve yourself, and you want to be doing the will of Hashem, then it's not enough to just bring a sacrifice. You have to be on the right wavelength, and you have to be bringing it with the right thoughts and the right actions, and it's not enough to just bring a sacrifice. Ki savoli rose ponai, when you come to see my face. Now, if the way it's written, it could be read liros ponai, which would mean to see my face. Le rose actually would mean to be seen. Liflai, as if to say, Leiros lefonoi, to be seen before me. And the truth is, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you come to see, to experience the Kedusha, and to see the holiness, and you come to be seen. But Kisavo, when you come, Leiros ponoi, to be seen before me. Mivikish los mierchem, who requested this from your hands? Ramos chatseiroi, to go trampling in my courtyard. I'm not interested in you coming. There's another kind of carbon that's not an ola, it's not a shlomim, it's not a chatas or an osham where the blood is what brings a kapara. When somebody's ola regel, Yom Tov comes, if you're in Yerushalayim and you go to the Beis HaMikdash, lo yero fanai rekim, you can't come in empty-handed, you have to bring a carbon. If for some reason you don't come to the Beis HaMikdash, you don't bring such a sacrifice. But now the Pasuk says, when you're coming, Leros Ponai, to be seen and to come to the Beis HaMikdash, you want to be Ola Regel. But who asked that from you, to go trampling in my Chatzar? Don't come. If you stay out of the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, if you don't come into the Beis HaMikdash, you don't bring a carbon. The Dibna Magid has a sefer on the Haftorahs, Kochav Miyakov. And of course, as the Dibna Magid's known for, he gives a mashal, he gives a parable for all of his lessons. So he explains these psukim as follows. He said there's two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah like sitting in the sukkah and wearing tefillin and wearing tzitzis or eating matzah. A mitzvah like that, of course you have to have, you should have the right intentions and you should have the right kavanos and you should be a tzaddik when you're doing the mitzvah. But the truth is the mitzvah itself is a mitzvah. You wouldn't find a pasuk, who needs you to sit in the sukkah? And a guy sits in the sukkah, you're mekayim the mitzvah. You don't know, like, who asked you to eat matzah? And there's no such question. No, this is a mitzvah to eat matzah. If you're eating the matzah because it's a mitzvah, we're not going to question a person of your moral character. What's he doing eating matzah? But there's another type of mitzvah. There's a mitzvah being ola regel. Means to come to the Beis HaMikdash just to see and to be seen. Or Meister Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And it says, Laman tilmad liyiras Hashem elokeichem elokecha, in order that you'll come to learn to fear Hashem. The purpose of coming to Yerushalayim was a person came to Yerushalayim and he saw the Kohanim doing the Avodah and he saw everybody involved in Avodah Hashem. So it inspired him and he learned to fear Hashem. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch brings down, Maaser Sheni was about 10% of your crop. I mean, it was the 10% after you took off the Truma and the Maaser. But imagine if 10% of your income had to be used just on food in Yerushalayim. So you probably send it, so that's a sizable amount. Almost 10% has to be used just for food, just in Yerushalayim. So some of it you use up during Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you go for Yom Tov, maybe you'll go a little bit earlier or later. After all, you got to spend it on food anyways. And obviously, whatever you can't use, you'll leave for the Chachamim and people learning in Yerushalayim. But people would also feel, let them have one of their own sons, or a son-in-law, or somebody in the family, their brother, somebody in the family might as well sit in Yerushalayim and learn. That's what everyone was doing in Yerushalayim for business. He wouldn't necessarily move to Yerushalayim. But a move to Yerushalayim, and he can learn, and we have to spend the money on food anyways. So we'll support him. So by the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni, every family would have somebody in Yerushalayim learning, and it brought to a whole knowledge of Hashem and fear of Hashem. But that was the purpose of the mitzvah. The Dubna Magid says the story, there was once a store owner, and he noticed in the community there was a wealthy man who patronized all the businesses, but to his store this man wouldn't enter. He didn't come in, he didn't do any business. And it bothered him. If he could only develop an account with this client, it would be very profitable. So finally, one day he approached him and he said, you know, I know you do business in the area and I have a store here. I'd like you to come in and spend some time and let's get to know each other. Sure enough, this businessman, a few days went by and he started coming into the store. Every day he would come in and it would stop in and schmooze for an hour or two, the chat. And then he'd walk out, and he'd do his business everywhere else. After this went on a few days, the store owner came over to him and he said, you know, I invited you in, I figured you would get to know me, and we would speak, and would end up opening an account, and doing some business. Instead, you come in every day, and we schmooze, and then you leave, and you buy your merchandise elsewhere. You're missing the whole purpose. The Dubna Magid says that's the point of these psukim. To bring a carbon, to come to the Beis Hamikdash, to eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, these mitzvahs were, the Torah says clearly, it's in order to inspire somebody and to bring a kurva, a closeness to Hashem. So if a guy goes ahead and he brings the karbonos, he brings the sacrifices, and he goes through the motions, and it's all being brought, and it doesn't say the avodah is being done wrong, they brought the sacrifices properly. But it's like the guy coming into the store and schmoozing and chatting with the owner for an hour or two and then walking out without doing any business. So Hashem says, Kisavol Rose Pane, if you're coming to see me and you're not going to learn anything from it or gain anything, so who asked you to come in and just trample and walk around in the base of Migdash? I didn't need you coming into the store and just standing here for an hour or two. It's not accomplishing anything. Lo sosifu havi mincha shav. The Navi continues, don't continue bringing a mincha shav that's meaningless. A mincha is a offering from flour. It's a cheaper carbon. And we already know that the Torah makes the lesson of nefesh kisakriv carbon mincha, that a poor person who brings a carbon with the right attitude, it's like he's giving his life to Hashem. And that what a poor man offers is as significant to Hashem as the wealthy man's tremendous donations. But that's all if it's being done properly. And if it's not being done properly, so the mincha is also a waste. Why bring a mincha shav, a mincha that has no value? Ketores toeva hili. It's the ketores, one meaning could be the incense, the ketores that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. I despise it. It's a toeva. And toev is a very powerful word. It's a word that, it's something that's detested, and it's abhorred, and it's used for the worst practices are called a toev. But so if you're going ahead and you're coming into the Beis HaMikdash and doing it, and yet you don't change your ways, the Ketores is a toev. Other Meforshim learn that the thrust of the Musar here is on the karbonos of the individual. That when the tzibur, when Klal Yisrael brought a carbon, the tzibur is not being blamed. Could be the zechus of the tzibur, or could be the tzibur was more controlled by the kohanim. It was based, but the complaint was more on the carbon yachid. In Ketores To'eva Hili, when it says it's a Ketores that's a To'eva, as Rashi learns, you bring the Korban Mincha, the flour, and it's put on the Mizbeach, and it goes up in smoke, and instead of that smoke being a Reach Nichoach, like a fragrance, but whatever's the Ketores, the smoke, is like smoke. It's smoking up the room, and it's undesirable. It's a To'eva, it's abhorred. Chodesh v'Shabbos k'ro mikra. Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh, v'Shabbos and your Shabbos k'ro mikra. You proclaim it, you gather together, you proclaim it as a special day. Le'uch al oven, but I can't have the oven, the wrongdoing, v'atzara, and yet it's a gathering, you're gathering together to serve Hashem, and yet it's being done together with the oven, with all of the wickedness. A Yom Tov has two facets to it. Atzeres Hashem Elokecha, it's a gathering for Hashem. It's also Atzeres Tiyalachem, it's a gathering for Klal Yisrael. First, the Navi says, Chodesh v'Shabbos k'ro mikra. The fact that Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos is a holy day and you gather together to serve Hashem, but the service of Hashem on your Chodesh and Shabbos, I don't want. Chodesh v'Shabbos k'ro mikra, lo'uch alav, and I can't tolerate the wrongdoing together with Atzara. It's a gathering, it's a holy convocation, but I don't feel, I don't, because of your actions, I don't want it. And then there's the other part of the Yom Tov. The fact that you enjoy, you have a good meal, and you relax, and it's Atzeres Tiyalachem, it's a Yom Tov, it's a special day that we enjoy in honor of Hashem. Chodshechem, your Rosh Chodesh, Mo'adechem, in your holidays, the part of it that's for you, that's Sona Nafshi, that's especially hated. In other words, the first one I couldn't tolerate. Le'uch Alovin Vatzoro, what you did for Hashem I couldn't tolerate. And what you're doing less, you know, for Hashem, and really for yourself, that I, son and afshi, that I hate. Hayu alai latorech, it was just a burden to tolerate. In other words, there's always another Rosh Chodesh, and then another Yom Tov, another, it's difficult. Nilei so, and I'm weary from carrying the burden and putting up with it. It's like the guy who's sitting and waiting, and he got more, one person after another coming into the office, and it's constantly, and he just can't wait till you have a break until there's no Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov. The truth is, Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov and Shabbos that are mentioned in these two psukim, it's a very special day, and it can be the best of times and it can be the worst of times. During the week, a person very often just wishes he had time to learn and he had time to daven and he had time to spend with his family and to do everything correctly. And he looks over the week, and he sees out of all the hours, he spends his whole day working. Like, what's he accomplishing? He's whatever his work is, whatever his career is. But like, what's the point of it all? That's not the point of life, to work. What's he working for? And he thinks to himself, if he only has some free time, and if the person spends it right, then he has a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, and he's able to spend it in Avodas Hashem and spend it properly. So the whole purpose of the week is elevated by that day of Shabbos. On the other hand, sometimes when a person's working, he's better off. On the other, because he wants to spend more time learning, he wants to spend more time davening, but he can't. In Yigia Shnei Mashkachas Avon, the toil involved in the little bit of time that he is able to learn and the bulk of his day that he's working, but the toil and the effort, he has no time to sin. You look over his day, what did he do wrong? If he spent 8 hours at work and he had to travel to and from, that's already 10 hours. And he daven Shachris Minchan Marav, hopefully he daven with a minion, it's another 2 hours. There's almost no time. Till he shops and eats, there's no time in the day. So it's as if there's no time for him to do an Aveira. And then all of a sudden he gets a Shabbos and he gets a Yom Tov and he has a whole day. And it's dangerous, because now he finally has a chance to spend it. If he does it wrong, so it comes out he spent the whole day, and he didn't have that yegiya shneihem, the toil and the exertion that removes sin, that makes sin to be forgotten. The guy can't think of sinning if he's just under stress and pressure. He's just too busy to sin. Hashem says, Chodshech mo'adechem sonu nafshi, yerosh chodesh, and yomim toivim, I hate. It just didn't turn out the way it was supposed to be. even the part that was the Chodesh v'Shabbos Kro Mikra, the holy part of it, I can't take together with your wrongdoing. And certainly the part yourself for the relaxing and the enjoyment of the Yom Tov, if it's not being done for Hashem, it's not being done in the proper manner, Hashem says he can't tolerate it. So one of the Mefarshim mentions, in the times of Chazal, Rosh Chodesh was a more significant Yom Tov. I mean, it's not a Yom Tov, work is mutter, but we talked about this a little in Shmuel. It says, Asher nistarta shom biyom hamaseh. The other days are called days of working. Rosh Chodesh was less working. And we see from these psukim, for instance, the Isha Shunamis in the times of Elisha said she wanted to go and speak to Elisha. Her son had died. She had to go to Elisha and tell him what happened. And Elisha, and her husband said to her, why are you going to the Navi today? Lo Chodesh, lo Shabbos. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's not Shabbos. Like, why all of a sudden are you going to the Navi? But you see, in those days, on Rosh Chodesh and on Shabbos and certainly on Yom Tov, people would go to the Nevi'im and they would go to the Chachamim and they would learn. It was a day spent in Avodas Hashem. After this rebuke, it's not clear exactly where in history Rosh Chodesh sort of ended up more as a regular day where we say Hallel, and especially for the men, they certainly go off to where Rosh Chodesh is more special for the women. But especially for the men, Rosh Chodesh, they say Hallel and they're off to work. They don't fast, they make sure to eat breakfast, you know. It could be after this, and as the Navi said, you've taken a day that doesn't have to be like a Yom Tov, and you've made Rosh Chodesh a very special day. But it just hasn't turned out the way it should. You know, a lot of things are like that. Things that are sort of optional. You know, a guy will make a Chanukah Sabayis. You know, he moves into a new house, he makes a party. So he has to try to make that party an Avodas Hashem. So he should say a Devar Torah, whatever is needed to do it like that. It says by Chanukah also. For instance, making parties on Chanukah, it says if you say Zemiros, they should sing, they should say Devar Torah. It's something to elevate the party. Otherwise, it's an optional. It says Sudas Rishus. It needs that aruchnius element to make it special. And since, obviously, the Chod Sheichem didn't turn out the way they should, it sort of slipped and it didn't become that day of a gathering and a meeting. Nilaisi Nisso. Hashem said he's weary with tolerating the Yom Tov. Uvafarizchem kapeichem. And when you spread out your hands in davening, Ali Meinai Mikem, I'll look away, I'll turn my eyes away from you. Gam ki sarbu tefillin, even if you increase your davening with a intensity, ain't any shomei, I'm not going to hear. The Gemara learns that from here, in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis, that you see tefillah is greater than karbonos. Because first the Navi says, why do I need all the sacrifices for? And then he continues, oh, I don't need the sacrifices, and indeed those Yom Tovim, Yom Rosh Chodesh, and when you daven, even that's not going to help. It implies that davening is a greater thing. But Gam ki sarbu tefillin eini shomei, when you increase your davening, I won't hear. Another explanation is uvafarizchem kapeichem, when you spread out your hands to duchen. When a kohen duchens, Hashem says, I'm going to look away and there won't be that, the brachos won't be given. Hashem won't give the bracha. And when you daven in any shemei, I won't hear, yideichem domim moleyu. Your hands are full of blood. Or as if you're guilty of bloodshed, which we'll talk about in a moment, if you have aveiros and you're guilty of this domim moleyu, so then your tefillos don't work, your duchenin doesn't work. Rav Tam used to say, the question once came up, when Jews came to America and there was a big nisoyon, it was difficult to keep Shabbos. So a kohen once came to the Rav and it was Yom Tov, but they came to shul. They came to shul on Yom Tov and they tried to keep whatever they could, but that was too great of a nisoyon for this particular kohen, and he was working on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So it was time to duchen. So he said to the Rav, he feels he can't duchen. How can the hands that work on Yom Tov, how can those hands go and bless Klal Yisrael? So the Rav said, your sentiment is correct, but you're saying it the wrong way. Instead of saying, how can the hands that work bench Klal Yisrael, you should say, go ahead and duchen. And how can the hands that bless Klal Yisrael, how can those hands work on Yom Tov and stop working? But a person has to, a person should feel that, that you're right, if a person has Averis, so his tefillah is not as potent and not as effective as otherwise. But of course, we've got to keep on davening, and we've got to try to remove those Averis. Yideichem damim alei, your hands are full of blood. The simple reason is Ritzicha, is bloodshed. But as Rashi mentions later on, Rashi mentions that there was, he gives examples of bloodshed. And the examples he gives is one or two cases in Pasuk Chof Aleph, when it says V'ata Meratzchem, now there are murderers in Yerushalayim. So over there Rashi mentions they killed Uriah, they killed Zechariah. He gives an example of two tzaddikim who were killed over the course of hundreds of years. Now those two tzaddikim were killed. So when he says your hands are full of blood, if society wouldn't condone it and wouldn't allow it, it wouldn't happen. And everyone's blamed for it, even though the truth is, it could be one or two incidents. It could also mean your hands are full of blood. It could mean a lot of things that are considered like bloodshed. If a guy's malbim p'necha ve'ro baravim, or if a guy causes somebody and humiliates another one in public, or if he... Is not Oisik and Pru Revu. There's many things that Chazal mentioned could be comparable to bloodshed. And in the eyes of the Novi, he looks at it with from Hashem's perspective. And if we're trying to correct ourselves, it's like somebody who's trying to put up, trying to study some type of blemish and remove it, and very often they'll get a magnifying mirror that embellishes the blemish so that they can correct it. Here also the Navi speaks it to them in the strongest words that they should be corrected. Yideichem damim alei, your hands are full of blood. And we'll see why it seems that the Musar, what they're being rebuked about, is not as great as it seems in the simple reading. Because rachatzu hizaku, the continuation is rachatzu, wash off whatever sins you have. Hizaku, and purify yourself. Meaning, even after you wash off the sin, there could be a stain. Make sure to remove the stain. Hasiru roa ma'al aleichem mineged einoi. Remove the evil of your actions from before me. Bein olam la'makom, you can do tshuva. A guy didn't do a mitzvah properly, you do tshuva. If it's bein olam la'chaveiro, somebody stole or somebody wronged another one, you have to, it's not enough to just wash away the sin and to remove the stain. You have to make sure to stop that action, and there's something that has to be corrected. You have to remove the roa ma'al aleichem mineged einoi. Chilu hareya. Stop the bad action. Stop the evil. A lot of things are, and this is very difficult, but a lot of aveiros can be tracked down to a character fault. For instance, if somebody has a chemdas hamamon, he desires money. So if he has that nature that when he looks at what another one has, he thinks he should have it, and why does the other guy have it? He should have it. And he has this desire to amass a greater and greater wealth, so that could lead to geneva, and to onah, and to cheating, and to many, many different averos, all because he's on the road to, he hopes on the road to riches. But until he can correct that character flaw, it can develop in different, it does this sin, he does that sin, and he can try to correct the symptoms, but there's the underlying midos, the character fault that's causing it. So remove the roa ma'al aleichem, the evil of your actions, mineged einoi, from before my eyes. Chilu hareya. And stop whatever it is that's causing the bad traits. Limdu heitev, learn well. Very often the Bali Musa say that for a person to correct himself, a lot of times a person isn't aware how severe an avera is. A person doesn't think it's so terrible. You know, what's the big deal if I do this or this? For a person to, if it'd be fully aware of how wrong it was, he would stop. And indeed, when you see somebody else doing an avera, that should be your thought. He doesn't even realize how wrong it is. He doesn't realize the severity. But limdu heitev, if you want to correct yourself, you have to learn very well. Or limdu heitev could also mean learn to improve yourself. Dirshu mishpat. You have to seek out justice. It requires an exertion. Sometimes you can't just sit back and hear what the people say. You have to take an active role in uncover the truth. You have to dirshu mishpat, to seek justice. Ashru chamotz. You have to vindicate the victim. You have to strengthen the one who's suffering. And the word chamotz can be related to the word chamitza, to be like sour. And that some people who have been wronged, and they feel the sourness in life. They don't experience the sweetness because they've been wronged, and nobody cares about it, and they're suffering, and it seems like there's nobody who takes up their cause. Ashru chamotz, the guy who's been soured, or the guy who's the victim here, you got to strengthen him or put him on the right path. Shiftu yosom. Judge the yosom, the orphan. And very often, the person who doesn't have a father or a parent to speak up on his behalf is neglected, and his needs are not fulfilled. But shiftu yosom, there has to be the Torah puts a strong emphasis on judging the yosom, what the yosom needs, the orphan. Rivu almana, and take up the grievance of the almana, the widow, who again doesn't have a husband to help her. So it's the job of the leaders of the nation to be concerned with the yosom and the almana. It's not always the movers and the shakers of society that should have their interest. It's the people that need them the most. So the Navi went and he gave Musar to Klal Yisrael, and now he takes a different approach. L'chu Navi Nivachacha. You know, come now and let's reason. Yom HaShem, Hashem says. Let's reason, let's discuss it. The truth is, in the times of Yeshaya, from the few psukim that we've learned, we can imagine the people thinking, what have they done wrong? They're bringing karbonos. So that's clear, they're bringing karbonos, and they're davening, and they're duchening, and they're keeping Rosh Chodesh, and they're keeping Yom Tov, and it seems to be they're keeping it with the halachos. In other words, it's not, it's just that they're missing the inner desire to serve Hashem. It's missing the life to it. You know, it's like the davening could be a tefillah b'li kavana or whatever. It's not with the right kavanas. Or it could be their other actions are just ruining it for them. And as yedeichem damim aleihu, they're being held responsible. I don't know if Victor Miller once gave the mashal, but I heard that he gave him a mashal, yedeichem damim aleihu. It's a scary thought, but he says if a guy is driving down the street, it's a narrow street, and he's driving at a speed that lo aleinu chas v'shalom, and no child should run out among the cars. But if somebody would all of a sudden run into the street, would he be able to brake? If he couldn't stop in time for like an unexpected thing like that, the Navi would call that bloodshed. Because the guy's driving, and he knows he can't stop, and he's driving at that speed anyways. Now, probably nothing happens, and the accidents are relatively rare. In other words, if a person can think over his own life, how many things, how he could have, and it happens too much as it is. It happens too much. But many times a person's protected. But in the eyes of the Navi, that's called your hands are full of blood. So the Navi looks at it from a different perspective. If a guy has that attitude, so certain things are preventing the davening and the duchening and the mitzvahs and they're not being accepted, but the people must have felt they were doing the right thing. L'chu Navi Nivacha, Yom HaShem. So Hashem says, let's go now and reason. Hashem will say, Im yiyu chato'eichem kashonim. If your sins will be like scarlet, shonim is wool that you dye red. Now if you have a red piece of wool, and you put it on the table won't be stained. And the guy who's wearing the red clothing won't have red on his skin. It's absorbed in the wool, and it doesn't stain anything else, but it's red. Kashelag yalbinu. If your sins are like this scarlet wool, kashelag yalbinu, it can become white as snow, which is the brightest shade of white. Im yadimu katola. And if they're like crimson, Tola is the dye that dyes other things. Meaning if somebody's done averus that have affected others, his sins are like Tola, like crimson, that it's had a negative impact on others. That's already a lot more difficult. Katsemer yiyu. We can still whiten it. If a guy can do tshuva and he does whatever he could, it won't remain that red color. It won't remain the red. We'll whiten it. It won't be as white as snow. It'll be as white as wool. But a white, clean wool is also white. But we see here there are different levels in Averis and there are different levels in tshuva. The more tshuva a person does, tshuva is like the like a washing machine. The more you put it through, it removes the stain gets fainter and fainter and fainter until it's removed. But Hashem says that there's still a possibility of tshuva, no matter how bad the Avera is, no matter how red it is, it can be whitened. In Tovu, if you want, Ushmatim, and you'll hear, Tuva Aretz Tochelu. You're the goodness of the earth, you'll eat. Chazal bring down, the Me'amlois brings a medrash. If you want the simcha that a person has in a mitzvah, there's a schar for that even in Olam Hazeh. As a general rule, schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. The schar of a mitzvah in this world you don't have. They give a mushel, like imagine somebody goes into the store, the grocery store, and he wants to buy, a loaf of bread, he wants to buy something for a dollar. And he walks in and he has a $10,000 bank check. He walks into the counter and he says, I have a check here for $10,000. I'd like to buy a loaf of bread. So the store owner says, I can't do anything with this check. I'm sorry, I can't give you change. And what am I going to do with a check for $10,000 from the bank? It's a good check. It's worth a fortune, but I can't sell you a loaf of bread. So the guy goes out of the store without the bread. If somebody does a mitzvah, so he's thinking, oh, he did a mitzvah, he should have a good year, he should have a whatever. Sometimes Hashem looks in and he says, he's got a lot of mitzvahs, but the currency just can't be paid up in this world. And his Olam Haba is the place where it's possible to pay him what he deserves. But the simcha he has in the mitzvah, that simcha will, Chazal say, give him a schar in this world. The simcha he has in the mitzvah. In tovu, if you want. He could have just said him shmatim, if you listen. But if you want, in tovu. If you want, ushmatim, then you'll... And some explain the pasuk also. If you want, ushmatim, then you'll hear. Like the Vilna guy in Vilnar, in words, if you just want. Vilnar, if you just want, then you could also be a gon. You could also become great in Torah. But the first step is you have to want. In tovu, if you want... Then ushmatim, you'll be able to hear, and if that's your approach to life, tuvharetz tochelu, you'll have the goodness of the earth. Vim tamanu, but if you rebel, umarisem, tamanu, you refuse, umarisem, and you rebel, cherev teuklu, you'll be consumed by the sword. Kipi Hashem diber, because the mouth of Hashem has spoken, and a person has a choice. Chazal say it's as if there was a sefer Torah came down with a sword. And offer the person a choice. Either you keep the Torah, you'll have the sefer, or the other alternative is the sword. Or kikaru makel, a loaf of bread came down in a stick, and it gave you the choice. Either you keep the Torah and you'll have the bread, or if not, you have the stick. It's not optional, but if we keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, it'll be good for us in this world, and in Olam Haba also. And if not, cheref teuklu. The Gemara learns out in Kiddushin, it doesn't have to mean necessarily cheref teuklu, literally killed by the sword. But sometimes a person can eat certain foods, and the foods feel afterwards he's in such agony and pain, it's like he's got, like he swallowed a bunch of needles, and he's got the sword inside him. But kifi Hashem diber, because Hashem has spoken. Now the Novi says, Eichos. This was Chazon Yeshaya ben Amoz, Asher Choza, Nevuah that he saw about Yehuda and Yerushalayim. This Nevuah, till now, was focused on Yehuda. Again, this is, the simple meaning is this is not being addressed to the Aseres HaShvatim, to the 10 tribes. Could be they were already exiled. And whatever he said about or maybe it was said earlier, but whatever he says about the 10 tribes is only to correct Yehuda and Yisrael. Yehuda and Yerushalayim. That was Yeshaya's prophecy. Now he turns to Yerushalayim. And he wonders about, all of a sudden, there was such a rapid change. Eicha hoysel azona. How did Yerushalayim become like a zona? Zona is a woman who's not faithful to her husband. Kirya Nemana. Yerushalayim was a faithful city. It was a city you knew that if you go to Yerushalayim, the people there are serving Hashem. And that's the way it was for hundreds of years. Most of the time things were going well. But when things were going well, Hashem didn't need to give them a pat on the back. They knew it. Klal Yisrael knew they were the Am Segula and the Am HaNivchar. They knew who they were. And they didn't, the fact that things were going well, they didn't take it for granted. They knew it was from Hashem because of their mitzvahs. But all of a sudden, this Kiryat Emunah, the city that had been so faithful, all of a sudden became like a zona. Malei Si Mishpat. It used to be full of judgment, of justice. Tzedek Yoling Ba. Righteousness would remain there overnight. It could mean, meaning not only was it a Kiryat Emunah for all these generations, but just last night, Tzedek Yoling Ba. Righteousness was here just last night. Va'atzel Meratzchem, and now there's murderers. Or it could be Tzedek Yoling Ba. Whenever there was a case of a capital offense where the defendant was on trial for his life, the rule is, the Sanhedrin, the Bezin discusses it, but they don't give the final verdict till the next day. You have to sleep on it. You can't rush. This is a matter of life and death. Tzedek Yoling Ba. For righteousness, it would stay overnight. They were extra careful to be that there shouldn't chas v'shalom be any case of murder. V'atam ratzchem. But now there's all of a sudden that attitude that doesn't. It's not so important. For whatever reason, they weren't. The justice system wasn't the way it should be, and therefore there were people who they're being called murderers because they weren't pondering and being deliberate in their judgment as they should be. But it seems like it was sudden. It seems like it was sudden. But the Navi continues. It wasn't as sudden as it seems. First, it starts off with cheating and dishonesty. Kaspei chayil esigim. Your silver had dross to it. It was had impurities. It wasn't pure silver. Saveich mohol b'moyim. Your strong drink was diluted, was mixed with water. Chazal say what happened is sometimes the guy would pay for wine and go into the store and pay wine. And the store owner would say to him, you know, he looks at the coin carefully and he sees in those days it was, the coin was worth its weight in gold, like you'd say. If you gave the guy a sella worth of silver, the assumption was that it was pure silver. And if somebody mixed in the impurities and somehow had a silver plate, but underneath it wasn't, and it had other metals, it wasn't worth the full amount. So the customer would say, you're complaining about my money. Kaspei chayil esigim, the money that you're giving is not pure silver. But look at the merchandise. I'm buying the wine. Saveich mol b'moyim. We know that the wine has been mixed with water. So it's like, you know, the customer is cheating the seller, but the seller is cheating the customer. Everyone's not being honest here. Again, I don't know how many people are selling wine, and I imagine not everyone was doing it, because that would now suddenly become the accepted standard, that your wine could be diluted. But obviously there was a lack of honesty. And again, we're putting together, you're putting in one pasuk, now there's murderers? And then you say, you know, the guy fooled the customer. I mean, most customers, I assume if he's just drinking the wine, unless he plans to dilute it himself, but if he drinks the wine as it is and he doesn't even tell the difference, the seller's not allowed to do that. But I can imagine the seller, you know, thinking to himself, the guy's going to drink the wine for Kiddush, he doesn't even know if I put in the water. Maybe he's rationalizing that if there's water in there, the guy won't become shicker and he'll behave better. You know, he's doing him a favor by adding the water. But with all the rationalizations, it's wrong. And that's being mentioned right after the pasuk, the murderers. There's room to say that the meratzchim is not literally murderers. Kaspei chayil esigim. But your silver is impure. And the saveich mol b'moyim. Sarayich sorerim. Your princes are rebellious. They've turned off. They're doing the wrong thing. V'chavrei ganovim, their comrades, their friends with the ganovim, with the thieves. Kula oiv shochad, they all love bribery. V'rodev shalmonim, and they're pursuing payments. Now again, it doesn't. I don't know if it means that they had a deal with the ganovim. They were rebels for chavrei ganovim. They knew they were buying stolen merchandise, or it could mean that they had friends, and they knew that the friends were involved in shady business practices, and they were friends. And it could be the fact that they were friends. They couldn't correct them, and they couldn't give musar. But it's hard to know exactly how close of a bond and how responsible they are. But in the eyes of the navi, if you know there's something going on, you should be trying to correct it. And they're friends of the Ganavim, and they're not correcting it. It doesn't say they all took bribes, but Kulo Ohev Shocha, they all loved bribery. And obviously, I would assume that there were those taking bribes. I don't know if they were all, but they all loved bribery. Verodev Shalmonim, they went after payments, meaning could be it wasn't even a bribe now. But there was an understanding, if I help you out now, you owe me one. Now, there's no clear bribery, but it's known that it's that type of society. Which doesn't sound that different than society now. But the Navi doesn't tolerate that. Yosum lo yishpotu. Now you take an orphan, he's not giving any payments, he's not giving any bribes because he doesn't have the money for that. So his case doesn't even make it to the courts. Yosum lo yishpotu. The Yosum is not judged. Again, it doesn't say that they even, the blame is that his case just didn't come to the courts. They didn't judge him. V'riv almana lo yovo aleihem. And once, if the Yosum is not judged, he came to court and he asked for an appointment, and they wouldn't give him an appointment, they wouldn't schedule his case. So the Almana hears that this Yosum is being ignored, and he tried. So V'riv almana lo yovo aleihem, the grievance of the Almana doesn't even come to them. And when she gives up, she says, if he went to court and it didn't help, they didn't listen to him, so why should I try? The Yosum probably has a stronger power than I do, and if he's not successful, I'm not even trying. Lochain, therefore, Nu'um, this is the clear statement, Ha'odon of the Master. Hashem Tzvokos. Hashem, whose Tzvokos means Hashem controls all the hosts, everything in the heavens and everything in the earth. Avir Yisrael, the mighty one of Klal Yisrael. Everything is under the control of Hashem. And Hashem says, this can't continue. Hoi, whoa, I can't take this situation as it is anymore. And Nochei Mitzorai, I'm going to be comforted, I'm going to be relieved from all those that are Mitzorai, my enemies. V'inot, when I'll take vengeance, there'll be a revenge, me oivoi, from my enemies. May oivoi is the stronger, those who actually... Here he translates it, one minute. Hayi nokem mitzorai. My tzorai is the adversaries, those that are opposed to me. From them, enochem, I'll avenge myself from those that are opposed to me. V'nokma, and the actual, like, nekama, that's may oivoi, from my enemies. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that this situation, the status quo, will not remain. V'ashiva yadi alayich, and I'll bring my hand back again, Rashi learns, one blow after another. V'etzrof kabor sigoyich, and I'll purify, like somebody who purifies with soap, with lye, or with detergents. Sigoyich, all the impurities will be washed away, will be cleansed away. Again, because we use that term about the silver had sigim, had impurities. I'll like clean that. But it can mean the people also, those that are Rishoyim and those that are tainting Klal Yisrael, will be removed. Vasira kovadi loyich, all of the cheap metals, I'll remove. The latter part of the pasuk seems to be in not such a harsh manner. In other words, will be washed away and the impurities will be removed. Not like certain pasukim, let's say you'll be purified through going through the furnace. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that Klal Yisrael will be pure, and all the Rishoyim will be separated. And the Gemara understands this to mean that Klal Yisrael will be purified and will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. V'ashiva shoftayich k'varishona, and then I'll return your judges like at the beginning. V'yoatzayich k'vatchila, and your advisors like they were originally. The Gemara learns that in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin, that after we say the bracha in Shmon Esrei of Tekap Shofar Gadol L'Chei Ruseinu, that Klal Yisrael should be gathered in, the next bracha is Hashiva Shofteinu K'varishona. Because here we see Hashiva Shofteinu K'varishona. The next step is to bring back the judges, V'yotzayich K'vatchila, and your advisors. Achrichein, and after that, Yikari Loch Ir HaTzedek. You'll be called the righteous city, Kiryan Emona, the city that's trustworthy and faithful to Hashem. Sion b'mishpati poda. Sion will be redeemed through justice, v'shaveh, and those that return will be bitztaka, in the zchus of tztaka. The Gemara learns out that in the zchus of tztaka, it brings the geula. In the 1500s, there was a major controversy in Klal Yisrael. In the city of Tzfas, the Chachamim gathered together, and they decided that, based on these psukim, it seems to be first you need to have the Sanhedrin. You have to have the judges. Vashiva shoftayich kvarishona. And then the geula can come. Tzion b'mishpat hipodeh. All right, first there'll be those gathered together, I guess, into Eretz Yisrael. This is done in Eretz Yisrael. But you need the judges before Tzion b'mishpat hipodeh. Before we can have the geula, there has to be a Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin used to be an unbroken chain. Moshe gave smicha to Yoshua, who gave smicha to his Tom, and it went on generation after generation until it was stopped. And there was an interruption of hundreds of years. But the Chachamim decided, and it was based on a Rambam, and it was a whole halachic controversy whether it's possible to reinstitute smicha. And the Chachamim got together, and one of the few who got smicha was the Beis Yosef. They got together and they conferred on Rav Yosef Cairo smicha. Anyways, the controversy continued, and eventually it stopped. And those who said you're basing it on a certain Rambam, but could be even the Rambam wouldn't approve of it, and they ended it. But part of the reason why the Rambam's psak is so accepted, why the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef's psak is accepted by the Sfardim, is that all the Chachamim gathered together in Tzfas, and he had smicha, meaning when he gave a decision, he's one of the musmachim. He had the real smicha. Nowadays, smicha just means a person has permission to paskin, to decide halacha. But they based it on this pasuk. But the geula comes, tziyam b'mishpat yipodeh, and then there'll be, v'shavel b'tztaka, v'shever poshim, and that's the end, by the way, of Shabbat, the haftorah of Parshas Chazon. Ends over here, we end on an up note, after all of the sufferings and the punishments and the rebuke, but in the end there'll be a geula. We'll come back, v'shavel b'tztaka. But the Novi continues, v'shever poshim v'chatoim yachtov. At the same time will be the calamity of those that are poshea, those that rebel, v'chatoim, and the sinners. And the sinners mean on a habitual basis. And therefore the Gemara, same Gemara, says in Megillah, after the bracha of Ashiva Shavteinu Kvarishona, the next bracha is v'amashinim al tihisikva. Because the Rishoim, when we'll have back our judges, the next step you see from the Pesukim is that the evil will be removed. V'shever poshim v'chatoim yachta, v'ozve Hashem yichlu, and those that abandon Hashem, yichlu, will perish. I mentioned this, it's a scary thought, but the Gemara says v'ozve Hashem yichlu. Again, the only limud zechus that I imagine is people don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize. But the Gemara brings this pasuk. What does it mean, somebody who abandons Hashem? And it says, when the Sefer Torah is open, and they're reading the Torah, if a guy walks out, that's called Va'ozvei Hashem Yichlu. Now it's here, Hashem's speaking. Now it's Hashem's word is being said, and a guy walked out? Now he abandoned Hashem? Again, it just gives us a little glimpse of what the Navi's focusing on. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, in other words, the goyim, there's no such concern, but a Klal Yisrael is on a higher level, and so much more is expected of us. And therefore, the reward and the closeness to Hashem is going to be so much greater. But at the same time, with the greater prominence comes a greater responsibility. And walking out on the Sefer Torah is called Vozvei Hashem Yichlu. And the Chofetz Chaim has that. Certainly, if the Sefer Torah is open and a guy doesn't walk out, but he just sits there talking, It's worse than if he walks out, so he walked out, but talking is... But mostly I say people aren't aware of it, but it's a reminder for all of us. Ki evoshu, because they'll be ashamed. Me elim asher chamadatem, from the elim is the elm trees that they worshipped, and they desired, they coveted it, they wanted to have these avodah zorahs. V'sachpru, they'll be embarrassed. They chose certain gardens. Either from these gardens they took wood to make their idols, Could be they had special expensive wood growing in the garden, or maybe they used these gardens, they set up idols in the garden, or perhaps they thought that the idols would somehow benefit them. There would be rain would fall in the zechus of their avodah zarah, and therefore they had beautiful gardens as a reward for their idolatry. But the time will come, and they'll be ashamed from all of this, and they'll be embarrassed from the miaganos asher bachartim, from those gardens that you chose. Kisiyu, you'll be ke'ela. They desired this avodah zarah of the elm trees, these beautiful trees. But now they'll see it's like the ela, like the tree novellus oleha, whose leaf withers. Uchigana, that garden that they chose, and they had somehow had a connection with avodah zarah, that beautiful garden. Asher mayim einla, will now be like a garden that doesn't have any water. That's unappealing. V'hoyo hechosun lina oris. And as far as all the wrongdoing, v'hoyo hechosun, the strong, the strength, what used to be powerful, the power of the Rishoyim, will now be lina oris. Lina oris is what you shake out from the flax, which is flimsy and very thin and insignificant. And when the fire hits flax, it ignites and it burns rapidly. The power of the Rishoyim will now be lina oris, like this flax. Upo'alo, and the one who does the evil, l'nitzot, will be the spark. So the one who did the Averis, and the Averis that he's done will be a flammable mixture. Uvaru shneim yachtov, the two of them, the one who did the Averis and the Avera, they'll burn together, ve'ein mechaba, and there'll be no one extinguishing it. Okay.